And hello.
And we're live.
Oh, fuck. I would like to play some Minecraft. Please.
God damn it.
I stayed at my parents' house the last couple weeks because they went elsewhere and I was house-sitting for them. Well, dog-sitting. I don't just live at their house when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
When I say house-sitting, like, oftentimes people interpret that as, so you're just watching the house? It's like, no. There's an animal there that I have to take care of.
But it's all, like, is it mostly LA people that say it to you?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't actually noticed.
Because, like, LA people, they, like, many rich people in LA who, like, have cool houses are like, you can house sit for me, which just means, like, you can stay here and enjoy this thing when I'm not here. I don't want you to live here when when I am here. So enjoy it and just leave no trace.
So, exactly. So I have never done that. I've never just stayed at somebody's house to live there and enjoy it and get paid for it. I would absolutely do that, though. So I was dog sitting for my parents and staying at their house, and my old desktop was there. And I thought, this is the perfect chance to take my desktop and boot up Minecraft.
Yes.
And I did today.
But it didn't work terribly well.
It didn't work terribly well, which is really disappointing because my computer is from 2008.
So, but you know, like, so would it be worthwhile to upgrade the RAM and the graphics card, or would it be better, like, because, like, are there other components that, like, won't mitigate the massive amount of power that will be implemented at that point? Like, meaning, like, the fan, for example.
Yeah.
Like, is the fan powerful enough to, like, deal with, like, 16 gigs of RAM?
That's,
and, like,
a good question.
NVIDIA whatever card.
That's,
you know,
a question for my brother who built his PC just recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll send him a text and be like, hey, what do you think of my piece of shit PC? My PC shit.
Because if you can like, use all the existing components and, like, spend, you know, $500 to, like, make it, like, a gaming computer, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But if not, it seems to me, like, I was doing research, like, it's about $1,000 to make up, like, a proper gaming PC that will,
yes,
like, run probably every game smoothly until about 2025. Like,
yeah. When I first got this computer, I was a little kid. Basically, it was like, I was no older than 12, and I spent probably $700 on everything. I just bought the PC. The PC itself, like, the computer was $700, and then all the accessories probably came out to, like, $800, maybe $900. I had saved up all my money over, like, a decade of Christmases, and so I bought this PC and I love it. I loved it. It just, like, it can't even fucking run Minecraft without lagging. So I'm fucking pissed, you guys.
Because Minecraft isn't, like, a graphics issue. Is it just because, like, of the online element? Is that, like, what?
So I wasn't playing online. I was just playing single player.
That's,
yeah,
weird. Like, I would, so
but my computer only has 4 gigabytes of RAM,
but
and I can only allocate a maximum of, like, 3 to maybe 3.5.
But still, Minecraft is, like, a pixelated sort of landscape.
It
so,
but it, believe it or not, Minecraft is actually I'm such a fucking nerd. It's actually pretty intense for your computer. It can be pretty intense. A vanilla, like, early Minecraft was not very intense, but, like, nowadays there's so much shit. Like, it loads up what they call, like, chunks in the game, like, which is basically just a square, a big cube of area that you explore. It loads up, like, 16 chunks at a time, which is a lot for my dinky computer to handle. But you can also adjust that. So I have it set down to, like, 8 chunks at a time. I miss the feeling of being up to, like, 4 a.m. playing on a Minecraft server, dude.
I mean, dude, like, that's, like, the hat I'm wearing, like, Death Stranding has done this to me as well. It's like, it becomes, like, I actually think it's, like, a very similar sensation you get from it. It's, like, where it's this meditative process of building things that don't matter, have no consequence on your real-world life, but just accomplishing something in a game through which we're living in a world currently through which accomplishment is jilted by this horseshit whatever, which we'll get into that later. But,
yeah,
like, it feels good during all this to play a game through which you can build things, have some, like, semblance of accomplishment.
Yes.
Even if it's not real.
There's also this extreme nostalgia to it. Actually, I think it was a podcast I was listening to that said this, the podcast about List. I fucking love those guys. They're so good. That, yeah. They were talking about like that feeling of, I think it was them talking about the feeling of staying up super late for the first time ever as a kid and like watching infomercials on TV at 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, that feeling is just absurd. Like, I miss that so much, and I know I'll never get it back, but I'm going to constantly chase it for the rest of my life.
That was Metal Gear Solid 2 for me, because like my parents were like super hyper evangelical Christian like when I was growing up, and so like they very much believed like video games cause violence or like problems in people. So I remember I went to the store, and there was some like to GameStop, you know, when those still existed. I'm not sure if they still do or not. I mean, they probably won't after this.
They do, but they sell like they sell Funko other Pops. That, yeah, exactly. They sell Funko Pops. I was trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, those.
They will sell you your Scarlet Witch Funko Pop, your skimpy Scarlet Witch Funko Pop.
yeah. So like, but at, so this is like N64 era. I bought Perfect Dark, and then my mother found it, and then made them return it. Like made it like be a return, and then. This is money I saved as well. Like, I mean, like, literally did like a bunch of like a yard work for them. And then I got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which was a rad game as well.
Oh, so yeah.
It's fine, but like, I still did want to play Perfect Dark. Like, you know, so, but Metal Gear Solid 2 was one where like I managed to, I was just old enough to like get around her like finding it. And so there was like, because like I, you know, and that was like one of the first games I ever played where like you would kill a enemy NPC and they would scream or like make noises or whatever. So I'd have to like have my, cathode ray tube TV turned down to make sure like she couldn't hear it, and then like
your CRT
exactly. And then I remember it had a headphone plug-in in the front, because it was only about like probably 15 inches. Yes, it was very small. And so like I would plug in my headphones to then play it until 3 or 4 in the morning.
We had a CRT that I used to play Wind Waker until like 4 in the morning on. Mm-hmm. And that TV was in, like, the guest room or the game room. After my brother went to college, we, like, cleared that out. And, like, so there was still, like, a couch and I think a bed in there, and then a TV, and the GameCube was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would sneak in there at, like, 2 in the morning and play some Wind Waker on really low volume.
So your inclination is not to play violent games, but would your parents have cared if that was your inclination?
Yes, they would have
cared.
Yeah.
Because they're still, like, conservatives, you know, like
yeah
but sure. I doubt they really hold that opinion now. It would be odd. I think they have like other things occupying their mind, but but anyway,
maybe we should catch up on some of these. I feel like we missed out on a lot. There was something that I wanted to keep going. Oh, I don't know. I thought Perry said that he was going to play Minecraft with me, and I got really excited.
Correct, this is one of his favorite shirts. Sean and I went to a thrift shop and found this one.
Yes, you look so good in
and
it.
And then Sean fixed the button because I think that the shirt was intended to be tucked in, which I will do, but like I actually like tucking in. I like the look of tucking in t-shirts more than collared shirts.
Yeah.
Tucking in collared shirts feels very business casual, you know.
For this shirt, there was no button at the bottom.
Yes.
It was like where there should have been a button, it was just like open, and there was never a sign or a trace of there being a button there. So I just put one in.
Yes.
I used the like a correct spacing to put the next one there.
Yeah, it's perfect, which I knew it would be after I gave it to you. Greg says Sean's computer was born the same year I moved to Indiana. Yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
I think this is the one probably here.
Sean in this dark green is something I didn't know I needed, especially with the silver necklace.
We're both wearing our himbo necklaces.
Yeah, our himbo necklaces.
I've been leaving mine on just to see if the metal fucks my skin.
It hasn't, right? Yet. Good. We don't want to get
it. Actually might be silver plated like they promised it was. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the full price tells me that it would have been silver plated, but I didn't pay full price.
Ooh.
I'm always searching for a bargain. A
little discount.
Yeah.
Gio says, Sean, how's the Pokemon card shop going?
Oh, God. Great, actually.
Yeah.
I actually quite enjoy it. I'm having a lot of fun. And I feel as though I'm a great asset to the company.
I think
even if other people don't realize it yet.
I think they do.
Like, I think it's because I'm the only gay person there. They're like, ah, he's just the faggot.
But exactly. They're like, that stupid faggot. However, speaking of that, you have to do a harassment training or something. When does that happen?
I don't know. I think it's just like It's like a one-on-one thing. So like,
are they gonna hire some consultant?
I fucking hope so. I'm super excited to like really throw that consultant for a loop.
Yeah,
like our HR representative that we've never once met. It's like, no, you have like a manager do this so that it's like cool.
If I had to go through that, like I would probably get fired. Like I would, because I would say like you're a dumb asshole with a useless position and like serves nothing. Even though like some of your fellow employees are stooping the.
I just got a text from, oh my god. Okay, never mind. I'm gonna ignore that. I got a work text while we were talking about work, but it was from our community app. But it actually wasn't from our community app. It just looked that way. It was really scary because I had not signed up for our community app, and I never fucking will. But the card job is going well. I'm enjoying it. I have a lot of fun. Do we want to get into
this very gay heavy episode?
Yes.
And how we hate our community so much.
We've spent 11 minutes avoiding talking about it, but now we just have to get into it. Let's address the elephant in the room.
This guy.
Oh wait, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain what just happened?
it's a gay on Instagram posting.
It is on Instagram, yeah.
It might be a fleet now that fleets are a thing.
Yeah, like it's interesting how fleets look exactly the same.
They're identical.
Yeah, which is, I mean, come on, like have
some. Okay, so he's posting a story and it's him shirtless in the mirror and he's using that filter that just like zooms in and out on you, like, and it plays like nightclub music, and then immediately after it is his grandparents' graves. Los abuelitos. Shut up!
I know. It's so great.
Gays are
the worst.
They're unstoppable. They cannot be contained. There's just no restraining a gay person from
letting their narcissism get ahead of like what actually might be important.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like morally, what, like letting their narcissism not get in the way of something that like might be morally ambiguous, which is like filming, like in this, like it's not like gays don't just do this. Like, I mean, I've seen like, especially like during COVID, like playing people that are like literally filming their dying relative on the bed and being like
doing a TikTok.
I'm so fucking sad right now. And it's like, how about you
dancing to Say So by Doja Cat,
right,
in the emergency room?
How about you let like your relative who has no conception that it's possible for their grandkid to do something this horrible, let them have their dignity still. Like let them like leave this world without knowing that their grandkid will use their dying breaths as clout. Please.
Oh my god. Yeah, personally I can't wait to visit my meemaw in the hospital.
Meemaw?
My meemaw.
You don't have a meemaw.
I don't have a meemaw. I wouldn't ever call my grandmother meemaw.
No.
Gosh, are you kidding? In this house, we're purists. We call them Grammy.
Yes.
I'm going to go see my Grammy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go see my fucking meemaw.
I feel like
are you from?
I feel like my grandmother
Arkansas
would be a meemaw, but she'd like yes. I think despite like the accent you hear from being from Oklahoma,
she's
like so not interested in like being a meemaw. Like I think that she like despite like I think that they moved out here, my grandparents, both from Oklahoma, to like even though the accent is you can hear it, they wanted to be not from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like in terms of their ideology and the way they think. So
yeah.
And then my grandmother loves to tell us about how many Black people she sold homes to when she's a real estate agent.
In a way, though, that is based.
It is.
She is more based than Twitter activists are today.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like Altadena in the 1970s was rough. And, like, it was, like, a Black, like, a largely, like, African-American, like, area with, like, a lot of crime. And she didn't give a shit. She, like, went and just sold houses to them. And, like, my grandfather was like, I'm scared that you're in danger. She's like, I don't give a shit. Fuck it. And she went and did it. She also, like, during that time period, because she has the same brain virus I do, she was in a car with another real estate agent who was, like, starting to get cunty about selling houses in that area. And she literally stopped the car and threw the woman out of her car and said, "You're gonna walk home now," and then drove back to her house.
Fuck,
and
dude.
It lost her position at like the firm she's working at. She had to go another one after that. I've only gotten like maybe 40% of that story, but like I don't think it was like pulling over and asking them to leave. I think it was pulling over, opening the door, and physically pushing this woman out of the car, from like the best that I can actually hear. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's like accidentally based in the '70s for sure.
Accidentally based.
But but yeah, so like this is gonna be a very gay heavy episode because of our good friend Elliot Page.
Elliot Page, y'all.
How do you all feel about...
Welcome to the resistance, Elliot.
Yeah. Welcome to the best gender.
The best gender.
That's ever existed on the planet. Welcome. So what's so funny, first off, is Elliot Page did a photo shoot with Variety. I think it's like that's the one that like did the article, right? Variety?
I think so.
And lesbians who are trying to look like dudes in the way they dress.
That's why I used that photo.
It's like they're 13-year-old boys.
I'm wondering, okay, yes, exactly. That's why in the thumbnail I used that photo. It's just like it is always ill-fitting. It does not match the person who's wearing it when a lesbian dresses like Justin Bieber circa 2008.
Well, and that's the thing is it's like almost like their time frame through which like how boys in particular dressed, which I get why they gravitate towards that, like largely women will not look like men because like facial hair, like even taking testosterone, is like kind of a maybe prospect that it'll look like, you know, for real or whatever, like or like be, you know, like enough coverage to make it seem like they're a whatever. You know what I'm saying? So
wait, I want, before we move on to like I want to keep talking about lesbians though.
Yes.
I think in the way that gay people have like an arrested development where, which thank you for teaching me that term.
Which
I knew the show Arrested Development.
Oh yeah.
I knew the show, but I had never actually done any research on the actual term.
On the term, yeah.
The arrested development that gay people often have is to, you reach your 20s, maybe like 22, 23.
And Peter Pan,
you lash out like sexually, like you like kiss and fuck as many people as you can because you're trying to relive this part of your childhood that you didn't get, that every other straight boy got.
And as you get older, like you don't really find the value in like settling down and having children. So then you like, then as you're like 40, 50, your goal now is to try to fuck somebody who's like 20, 18 again, who you were.
Lesbians don't lash out sexually in the way that gay men do, in my observation, maybe. And they just express themselves via how they want to look. Mm-hmm. And that's why back in 2008, there was a massively popular Instagram called Lesbians That Look Like Justin Bieber. Do you remember that?
I remember that very well, yeah.
They expressed themselves in that way, and it was like reliving boyhood because they didn't get to.
Yes, and you would think that meme was so pervasive that it would make them cut it out and like try to like really,
right.
But nope, no. And I think like what's tough, right, for them is like what's tough for lesbians is like most pop culture men who are like just generally pop culture men like are gravitating towards like trying to look more feminine, which is like kind of an interesting conundrum. And so like, but it's weird to me that Ellen Page chose skater chic, I guess, is like what she was going for. Like I don't know.
This photo I think was taken in 2019. This photo of him was taken in 2019, the one that I put in the thumbnail. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, but that's from the Variety
photo shoot, yeah.
Right, which was for this announcement, right?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Elliot, get yourself a stylist.
Well,
every rich man needs a stylist.
Let's see here.
They never get one, but now's your chance, Elliot. Get yourself a stylist who specializes in trans people.
That's not right.
It was, I think, actually CNN.
There's a picture of, there we go.
This photo, yeah.
I mean, this is from December 1st, and this is the picture.
Oh, geez. That's the one that I used in the... Actually, no, this is... She's wearing the same hat, but that's not the same shirt.
It's not the same shirt and not the same jacket, but she's still dressing the same exact fucking way. So what? It's like, even with the year difference, it doesn't...
He or they, Jordan.
Well, can we talk about he, they? Yes. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. I... Just be he, him. Or accept all pronouns.
Yeah. Well... What I think it is, it's like they'd prefer they, but he is the best.
More palatable or what?
More palatable, I guess. I don't know. But there's there have been like a few people in our universe, like one of which we actually talked about in our 6-hour election stream.
Who did we talk about?
Is apparently a very important gay ally, and that's James Cage White from China.
Hi, guys. I'm eating a banana as reward. Very yummy, very delicious. I like it. Be careful of HIV. Be careful of strangers. Even he or she is very beautiful. You don't know her past. He, she may has HIV virus in the blood. Good luck and be safe, my friends.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Just, yeah, play fucking roulette.
I'm eating a very phallic fruit.
Dude, what the fuck is up with bananas in China?
They're tiny. Well, someone asked him that because he was only eating these like tiny little bananas, and they asked like, James, why are your bananas so small? And his only response was like, I'm a saving guy. I save money. And it's like, well, your company gives you these for free, so why not pick a bigger banana?
That is so funny. Oh my god.
Dalry says, I gave up on pronouns, honestly annoyed with them. Yeah, I mean, like, because the climax of talking about Elliot Page, and we'll get into more shit about that person, like, is this might be the first person to come out as this particular identity where I don't fucking believe it.
Wow. I think, like, yes. Also, though, who cares?
Who cares? Like, could this be any less important right now?
When Ellen Page came out as a lesbian, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
but now,
well, like we've been new.
Elliot coming out as trans, it's like, fucking, no one cares.
No one cares.
You've been an activist. He has been an activist for so long. What was the next logical step to get yourself back into the headlines?
Right,
and to come out publicly again, dude. It's like Derek Chadwick when he came out like 5 times in 5 years as gay and deleted deleted the video every time
to get the clout every time
to get the clout.
Yeah,
and fucking Derek Chadwick.
Like, and just to demonstrate, like, you know, how much she's willing to act outside of Hollywood, here you go.
The media that's saying it's a debate whether or not what just happened to Jussie Smollett is a hate crime. It's absurd. This isn't a debate.
I hate when...
I agree.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that, like, right into the
mic.
Sorry,
I'm like...
Not at all.
I'm, like, really fired up tonight,
but... This is how you have to be fired up.
It feels impossible to not feel this way right now with the president and the vice president, Mike Pence, who, like, wishes I couldn't be married. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, that's what they wish. That's what they said.
The vice president of America wishes I didn't have the love with my wife. He wanted to ban that in Indiana.
Oh.
He believes in conversion therapy.
And, of course, they have the photo ready.
Yeah, of course. Boo.
He has hurt LGBTQ people so badly as the government of Indiana, and I think the thing we need to know, and I hope my show...
Are we going to get struck for this?
In terms of connecting the dots, in terms of what happened...
We should be careful.
Yeah, that's enough of that. But again, so that was a great performance, and it's why I don't give a shit. Like, because... So, she chose to use... Number one, all of us, when we heard the Jussie Smollett story, like, we didn't jump on it at this angle or the other angle,
right,
when we heard it. But, like, I think both of us privately were like, this reeks.
We were dubious of it.
This is, like, too perfect. And then for her to use this appearance on this show to just, like, absolutely say, like, it wasn't even a tweet. Like, she chose to use, like, a national platform to be like, oh, yeah, this happened. And then segue it into this administration, which now that it's over... Are you not married to your wife anymore?
Yeah.
You stupid asshole.
She's like, I'm sorry. I'm just like super fired up about this.
No, no. What she's doing right here is what you see on Twitter, which is like, I'm so fucking tired. I'm so tired.
Y'all, I'm tired.
Ugh. I am so tired.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
And it's so performative. If you cannot see that, then look a little harder.
Right. So
it drives me crazy.
So fuck they. I mean, I, whatever. Like, go live your life and scissor your wife. I mean, whatever. Like, who gives a shit? Like, no one cares. Like, people I know that have watched Umbrella Academy that are like us are just like, this has become this dumb, woke nonsense.
Yeah.
And so, good. You know, have your lane. And you could be this opposition person while Trump was president, but now he's not. Your show's going to get fucking canceled. Yeah. So, enjoy.
Yeah, Elliot, just be trans and don't expect us to care. Don't care.
What's going to be annoying, though, is that they are not going to change anything physically about themselves.
They won't.
And so, like, you know, they might get a short dykey haircut or something, and then Elliot Page will be who they cast as the trans actor and everything. Mm. Not somebody who has a harder time transitioning because they don't look terribly feminine or masculine, you know. But Elliot Page will now be the go-to.
Right. It's always what bothers me about, like, middle-aged white women who come out as non-binary. They suffer zero of the consequences that come with coming out as whatever. So
their life will not be altered on a day-to-day basis.
And they don't, oftentimes, they don't really change their appearance drastically. They don't change their biology drastically. So people, especially middle-aged white women who come out, middle-aged, I mean like 30 to 40, come out as non-binary, co-opt like a movement that they're not a part of, and then try to dictate what we can or cannot say. And like that white woman who came in, that non-binary white person who came in and told us to not say faggot on our own show. I'll say it a billion times.
Yeah. Yeah, and like
before I ever concede to that argument,
and I think we got more aggressive about saying it after that stupid asshole came in.
We absolutely did.
So it's interesting. So that's like, I think that Hollywood's like, yes, we got one that like is not going to really cause much distraction on screen, and we can still claim to be woke because we hired this stupid asshole.
When was the last time a celebrity, like an actor, came out as trans?
Came out as trans?
Yeah. I don't remember it.
This might... Like a celebrity or an actor?
I guess both.
Because musicians do it all the time. So, but
I didn't know that.
But actors, this is kind of unusual. And I think, like, largely what it is for her is... I mean, she must have, like, good residual checks for something, you know? And she's on a show that's on Netflix or whatever. But I think she's severely overestimating... what I think is a very cynical, career-driven move is going to yield her in terms of fiscal benefit.
Gio says Elliot could make a lot of money renting out his forehead as a runway for 747.
Yeah, they have this, like, has a Christina Ricci forehead.
Yeah,
like,
and a pretty square jaw, I noticed when I was editing that photo.
Yeah, I mean, like, they are one of those people who, and that's the other thing, too. How many people I've seen fuck up the pronoun means that nobody is convinced. Nobody's convinced that this is real. And so, but,
that's
you know,
funniest part.
I forgot what I was going to say. But, when they came out as a lesbian, it was like kind of like the guy you see who's super effeminate and says they're straight. And then they come out and you're like, yeah, we knew.
Yeah.
She was a lesbian then, so fuck it.
Yeah. Fuck it. We're talking in the past tense.
Which is why Del Reese is like, this is bullshit. Like, it's so fucking difficult to talk about things in this kind of way. So, I don't know. Fuck her. Like, fuck her. Fuck them. Fuck they. Who gives a shit? You don't matter. 30 million people are unemployed. Hollywood
this is... Congratulations. Yeah. You have all the money in the world to now transition if you would like to. Or not, because you don't need to.
Exactly, and you're a good actor who has chosen unwisely to use the last 3 years to just complain about the world when you're one of the most privileged people in the country.
There's no quicker way to get yourself out of work than by becoming an activist.
No kidding, right.
I mean, when was the last time we saw something that Billy Porter was in? Or, I mean, Billy Porter's like a Broadway dude.
You mean his star performance in the DNC event?
Yeah, I think
there's
about
something
it every
happening
night.
Here.
Oh, so gross. Yeah. It was so embarrassing. But I guess Billy Porter's not the best example. But think of any other activist who's an actor. I mean,
I mean, like other than George Takei, like, I mean, everyone's just like, you know what, enough of your fucking Orange Man bad bullshit. Like, you know, again, like, you know, the conversation, and again, the problem is that Hollywood will never reconcile the actual issues they have. They make distractions like Me Too and Time's Up, like those two, to distract from the fact that, you know, the systematic rape of children in Hollywood, which is totally commonplace and fine. So, and then with coming out as being a gay man in particular, you lose all of your leading man ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's real. And so,
you know who mentions that? I think this article actually mentions that, but it's not the subject of the article.
And I find it, I didn't read the article, so but you must have. Right?
I skimmed it. Yeah. So it's not super long.
I'm curious how exactly she phrased this. So anyway,
we'll... All right. So this is from Metro Weekly. Kristen Stewart says it, requiring gay actors for gay roles is a slippery slope. Bisexual actress said the issue was a gray area, but actors need to care about the roles they accept. That's fucking succinct.
Agreed.
In my opinion. Kristen Stewart has weighed in on the ongoing controversy over straight cisgender actors playing LGBTQ roles, calling it a slippery slope to require lived experience in order to portray a character. In an interview with Variety, Stewart said that the issue was something of a gray area. I would never want to tell a story that really should be told by somebody who's lived that experience, the bisexual actress said.
It's having so weird said that like she needs the qualifier now as being like the bisexual actress. Yeah.
Having said that, it's a slippery slope conversation because that means I could never play another straight character if I'm going to hold everyone to the letter of this particular law. I think it's such a gray area. I think that's like her whole quote on it. Yeah, that's her
which
whole
doesn't
quote
have
on
any
it.
Nuance that I thought it would have. Like she's exactly right.
She's the first person to say this.
Not the first, but
the first like LGBT person to say this. That's an
and idea. If she doesn't apologize, which they're gonna ask for her to,
I hope she does,
she'll be pretty fucking based.
I hope and pray that she is based. Let's see. Both LGBTQ activists and those working in Hollywood have been urging greater representation in front of and behind the camera, and there has been growing backlash over non-LGBTQ actors accepting LGBTQ roles. That's so silly. Halle Berry said she wouldn't consider a role as a trans man in an upcoming film. Gave some quote that trans people should tell their own stories.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah.
Imagine. Okay, let's put it this way. Imagine a black writer coming to you, a white director, and asking you to make their film. And then Twitter finds problems with the fact that you are a white director telling the story of a black person.
It's like Quentin Tarantino all the time.
And then that story never gets made.
They get mad at him every single time. And then like the actors through which he has made their career like legendary, like Samuel L. Jackson, defend him because they're like, I don't really care how this white guy writes my dialogue. Like, he makes good movies and he has given me a career that is beyond snakes on a plane. You know what I mean? So this actually proves my point. So this quote here.
In 2018, Scarlett Johansson pulled out of the biopic Rub and Tug after backlash over her casting as its trans male lead, criticism that heightened after she initially dismissed the controversy.
Yeah, so and that movie is never going to be made. Mm-hmm. Because never. They don't have her attached to it anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly it. These stories will never be told if you're not willing to compromise just a tiny bit to get your story told.
Exactly.
It will have a much greater impact if Scarlett Johansson is in your film than if you hire the only trans actor who auditions for the role.
And wouldn't it be wild, like, and Del Reese brought up Eddie Redmayne and the Danish Girl. Like,
I didn't see it, but like,
I didn't either.
I mean, the reviews were great.
We watched the one where he plays Stephen Hawking, right? We watched it together.
We did not watch it together. No.
Okay. Well, that one was good. So like, again, like I wouldn't really necessarily call him a method actor, but he's a very good actor. Imagine if Daniel Day-Lewis was to play a trans person. Do you think he would do the role better or worse than an actual trans person?
I don't know. What do you think?
Better. Way better. Because trans people are like this much of the population, like a teeny tiny part of the population. So
the likelihood that you have a really fantastic trans actor is less, I imagine.
Because in all of Hollywood, everybody that stars in movies, how many Daniel Day-Lewis's are there? Not many. Mm-mm. Not many. Like, I can think of like maybe four or five actors that you know, Gary Oldman, like, just becomes a different fucking person in every movie that he's in. But it's these like chameleon type people, because it's a combination of things. It's like the likelihood of you being trans and also having this weird born gift of being an athlete, like a vessel type person who can just become anything else, is so fucking low that even someone like Laverne Cox, who was fine in Orange is the New Black because there was context, would be distracting in anything else, you know? And so that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, just like, I think what's absolutely correct about Kristen Stewart's response is that, like, you shouldn't, she is bisexual, but if she's going to hold people to the same whatever, to the same law, she would never play a straight role again.
Which is, I think,
and that gay people can only play gay roles. Yeah. It's exactly. Gay people can only play gay roles. It's stupid to me. And honestly, if you have a very talented actor, they're meant to take on roles that they don't have a lived experience for. God, I hate that term.
And so
I've recently hated that term.
Which one?
Lived experience.
Me too, because it gets applied in really fucking ridiculous ways. So Del Rey says, I'm fine with straight people playing gay roles, but I think gay people should have more of a chance to be in those roles. Yeah, but this isn't, like, the onus isn't on, like, they always blame the fucking audience. It's never blaming their own institutions.
Right.
You know, so, like, we need more black directors. And it's like, well, then hire them. Like, if they're writing good black stories, then hire them. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Hollywood is professional at, like, passing the buck off to the consumer every single fucking time. And it's like, think of, like, take Get Out, for example, which had problems, but, like, white America, black America saw that movie in humongous numbers. Mm-hmm. We all liked that movie.
Yeah.
And went and saw his follow-up movie, which was okay, you know, like, but in huge numbers as well. So it's not as if, like I think, like, Hollywood does these kind of PR things where they say, oh, like, you know, again, like, audiences are racist or this, this, and that, because they don't actually want to make these movies. And because, like, on a larger scale, like, things like Black Panther, which was pretty successful here, China's super fucking racist. And Marvel and Disney are only selling their shit to China.
Yeah.
And they don't want to see black people. And so, like, there has to be some reconciliation amongst the public, not Hollywood, because Hollywood's irredeemable at this point. They will never be honest. And so, like, just the public knowing, like, oh, you're manipulation. And so... and also, like, the actors who step down from parts because they feel like they can't go to a gay person isn't... because they, like, they're not, because they don't step down from those roles and get the PR back padding they get. They don't step down and then start, like, an advocacy group to get more gay actors and stuff. It's just like, oh, you know,
I'm gonna create a vacuum for this role,
And you're such a good fucking person.
You're gonna praise me for it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're such a good fucking person. You're one of the good ones. You're one of the good actors in Hollywood. And, like, the reality is all these people are pieces of fucking shit. Like, they are not good people. Mm-hmm. And again, like, we can even go back to, like, the Harvey Weinstein thing, where it's like, you all fucking knew. You all knew, and you didn't say anything until it was socially expedious for you to do so. So they're all trash, and that's...
Kristen Stewart says some more here. I didn't realize there was more to the quote, or I forgot that there was more to the quote. She says, you kind of know where you're allowed. I mean, if you're telling a story about a community and they're not welcoming to you, then fuck off. But if they are and you're becoming an ally and part of it, then there's something that drove you there in the first place that makes you uniquely endowed with perspective that might be worthwhile, there's nothing wrong with learning about each other and therefore helping each other to tell stories.
Of course.
And that's exactly
and
it.
And this one's interesting to me. So,
I remember when he did this.
And Darren Criss, who won an Emmy for playing a gay spree killer in the assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story, said he would no longer play gay characters to make sure I won't be another straight boy taking a gay man's role. And again... Darren Criss only has a fucking job because of Ryan Murphy, who's gay and, like, I think wants to bone him. And so, or at least at some point did. And as a side note, every time he's in anything, he's super distracting to me. And when
I only see him as the dude from Glee.
And then when Ryan Murphy left to his own devices cast gay boys, they're so distracting and so gay. Like, every time, like, and like, that's, like, we kind of noticed about, like, everything he's done since Glee. We watch, like, bits and pieces of it, like, that show Hollywood, for example. It was like every time it was an obviously gay person on there, it was like, I know you. And other than Jim Parsons, who crushed it,
he's great.
Which
it's honestly, it's amazing that he started with fucking
Big Bang Theory
and he's then, a fantastic actor.
And, like, played a sociopath so fucking well. And so, but that's kind of the thing. And, like, kind of my point to Dal Reese or just to the public is the problem isn't gay people getting roles. Like, Jim Parsons' role had very little to do with his, like, his sexuality. Yeah. Meaning, like, if he had sex with women or men, it was about playing an interesting sociopathic character by an actor who just happens to be gay. The problem is that Hollywood is uninterested in taking the financial risk of hiring a gay man to be a leading man as a straight person in the movie. Yeah. And they'll never do it and they'll never be honest about it, which is like why, until they're willing to have that conversation, I'm uninterested in having or caring about Elliot, whatever. Like, I just don't give a shit about this because Hollywood is all full of shit and she's Hollywood and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Do you mind scrolling down just a little bit more? There was one other quote, I think, in this article that had that was I think actually talked about it. Gay director Greg Berlanti, known for Love, Simon and his commitment to including LGBTQ representation in his other work, such as casting TV's first trans superhero in Supergirl, last year revealed that gay studio execs often won't let him cast gay actors in straight roles. Early on in my career, there were gay execs and gay casting people who were the least likely to let me cast an actor they knew was gay in a straight part, which is what we were just talking about. Berlanti said these were the individuals who knew how important it would be.
So what stuff? Like, without saying too much, right? So you and I have been to Hollywood parties with very powerful executives who host the parties, right? Of, like, networks. Like, one of the people who I like quite a bit and I think you liked as well.
Yeah.
Is a massive producer of a lot of Michael Bay films, like, you know, but think of everyone at that party, right? And most of them, they were all gay. All of them were gay.
Yeah, every single
person. And they're all actors to some degree. How many of them could be, quote unquote, less gay on camera to appear convincing as a straight man?
That's going to be tough.
Right. And so, like, I think that because of the sensitivity thing, we can't be honest about the fact of, like, look, dude, I know gay dudes are shot out of the womb and are, like, super flamboyant by, like, seven or whatever. But it is distracting to an audience, and it gets in the way of telling a good story when the audience is like, that's a gay dude. I mean, like, you know.
Well, how about this? We just get bisexual men to play gay roles.
Perfect.
We get Marlon Brando types.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Bisis Andrew Gillum here a little bit later. But
Bisis Andrew Gillum. Oh my God! Yeah. I didn't even know we were going to talk about him tonight.
It's just about an irritant thing, but
great.
Anyway, that's that. I mean, like, I think that this is a different form of the same shit we've been saying for what 3 years now. We've been doing this, I am so tired of the gays.
So, Darren Criss or Dallas says Darren Criss just doesn't want to play gay anymore, and it sucks because he has gay face.
Yes, gay face.
He is the gayest straight man in the world,
and gay, like. Everything. Gay.
So, like, you're only ever gonna play a gay man, Darren. You put the last nail in your coffin.
You know what's
interesting?
So, do you remember that very prolific musician's house I went to that is gay, who is not out of the closet?
Yes.
Like from the 60s.
Yes.
So
I was like, who?
Before all this shit happened, he would host a party at that piano bar on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
And Darren Criss would do every single one. And so him and I just think Darren Criss is gay. Is my point. You know? Before, like, I don't want to reveal too much about, like,
wow.
But I just think he's full of shit. And I think that he's doing this to try to, like, go the opposite
direction.
Why
wouldn't he come out?
It's that thing I was saying to your friend.
I was just gonna bring that up.
Of like when everyone is totally fine with you coming out of the closet and being gay, it creates a new version of pressure to not do it.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone just expects that I'm gay, and so I don't want to admit to them that their assumptions of me are true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So
even celebrities.
Anyway, you ready for a hard shift?
Yeah, so I can take a hard shift.
I found an article that vindicated things that I said on our coronavirus cast, way, like in the very, very early ones. And like I was showing you guys stats and whatever. This is from the Washington Post, so like keep that in mind.
All right. The Health 202, obese Americans could be prioritized for coronavirus vaccine. All right. The CDC advisors will meet tomorrow to discuss who should get coronavirus vaccines first. Do you mind moving that cursor? Yeah. One population they may consider prioritizing: Americans who are obese, a major risk factor for severe COVID-19 that some experts say has gone under-recognized.
Why? We all knew. We all knew.
Yeah, we've been new.
Like, okay, so like it probably by the end of the year it'll kill 300,000 people, right? Which is a ton of people. But an aggressive lung infection, if you're not old, which is the obvious group that like we've talked about for years, that if they get the flu, it's super fucking dangerous, yeah. Right? And also children with the flu, but even though coronavirus doesn't seem to really fuck with children the same way the flu does, it seems like just logically it would make sense that fat Americans, which is most of us, would be at a higher risk for dying of a lung infection, yeah. Obviously, because they're already having a hard time breathing every day.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So this is just something that we already knew that finally things like the Washington Post are catching up to, or actually like admitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough because like, yes, prioritize people who are at risk, old people and fat people, give them the vaccine.
Yes.
But let everybody else just be fucking normal.
You know what's great? You know what's great about this is, and we'll read more of this article in a second, but I know Perry's like super on board for the vaccine. I'm very wary. Like I'm hearing like very like objective side effects, and I'm like, ugh. Like this, like, but the group in this country who has arguably made it very, very difficult for us to have Medicare for all because there's such an expensive burden on the system. I love that they're going to be the guinea pigs for this thing.
You know, the
it's like it's almost like paying recompense. It's like it, you know.
Yeah, the U.S. military is actually already using the COVID vaccine to sterilize the Middle East.
Is that what they're doing?
No, that's not true.
Yeah,
I just made that up.
Yeah,
actually, I read that on a repost from somebody I know who is
like a QAnon.
QAnon.
Person. Yeah,
they're not in the Middle East though. I made up the Middle East part. They're using it to sterilize young people and kill old people.
It doesn't make a lot of sense in the sense of our birth rates. I think that like we're gonna have 500,000 less births this year than any other year.
Dude, and it's just gonna keep going down until we can fucking buy houses.
Yeah, right. There's gonna be no money.
I'm fucking pissed.
But there's a
give me a house.
There's a so read this paragraph here and then
the agency has already laid out four groups that should be considered for priority: healthcare personnel, workers in essential and critical industries, of which I am included. Cards,
super essential.
Critical.
Yeah.
Older adults and people with certain underlying medical conditions, including severe obesity. But it's unclear to what extent the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will prioritize this group.
So there's a. So here we go. This is the part which I literally laid out statistics, and it made you kind of uncomfortable. But like, because it is uncomfortable to talk about that certain demographics are afflicted by obesity and diabetes more than others, and
research suggests that obesity increases the chances for hospitalization and death.
Duh.
There's been much discussion about how underlying medical conditions such as hypertension and type 2 diabetes are associated with higher risk of dying from the coronavirus. But these conditions are most frequently found in people who are obese, making it difficult to discern whether the medical conditions or the obesity were the biggest factors at play.
So read this paragraph too, and I'm going to make a point. Sorry. And
the evidence, Popkin argues, points to extra weight as a bigger risk factor than any individual comorbidity. That's because people who are overweight or obese have more body fat, which is more hospitable than other tissue to the coronavirus. And they suffer from reduced lung capacity.
So what struck me about reading this article when I read the whole thing is how it's as if they're talking to children.
Yeah.
Like we knew this. We knew this already. This was not like just logically kind of like how, yeah, the protests might have caused a spike. Oh, no. Like, no way. Black Lives Matter cures coronavirus. So, but now I think with Biden, they're going to have to start admitting these realities, which is just one of them. I want to find the thing about demographics.
I don't know. And the thing is with obesity. Oh, yeah, here we go. The connection helps explain some of COVID-19's impact on Black and Hispanic Americans who have died at disproportionate rates from the disease and are also more likely than white Americans to be obese. Yeah, in proportions, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
The thing is, in proportions, they're also much more likely to be poor, which is exact, like, poor white people, poor black people, poor brown people are more often fat.
Yeah.
So, God damn it. Like, we need to help these fucking people so that they don't become obese, so that they don't have food deserts in their neighborhoods.
Sure.
Anywhere, like, if you're living below the poverty line, we just need to give them assistance so that they can fucking eat right.
And, well, yeah, and I think, like, childhood education, I mean, like, you know, think about it. Like, we went through school, like, what was the bottom of, the most important food group of the food pyramid?
What was it, the grains?
Grains.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because the grain lobby owns fucking everything, grains and milk, dude.
And that's the point I want to drive home is, like, this is, like, the reason why this conversation is not being had nationally, which we all fucking know, like, you know, for example, there was an article, like, out of Indiana that was, like, 13-year-old dies, like, first under 18 person to die of coronavirus in this area in Indiana. Right. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's terrible. And I just urge everybody who listens to this just to have curiosity. Like, when you see a intense headline like that, click through and just read the article.
Through.
And all it took for me was to click the article and then look at the kid. And he's like a planet, or was. Like, he was giant. I mean, like, just so fat, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, and then they said he had asthma, and then, like, some, like, a bunch of other different problems. So it's like, it's not as to say this, like, this isn't a tragedy, but, like, I cannot tell you how many morally preening fat people have been, like, on social media outlets being like, you should really care about your health. And I'm like, you should care about yours. Yeah. You have been a fucking problem long before this even happened. So it's amazing to me of, like, what, like, the people that are dictating this are, like, some of the most unhealthy people that exist, you know?
Yeah.
And
that, or they're the most privileged. I often see people being like, it's not hard to stay home at all.
Yeah.
And they order food every night. They can afford a $30 meal from Postmates.
Right.
It's like, come the fuck on. Some of us have to make money.
Right. There is, like, a total disconnect of that group of people. And it's the proud Biden voter. I mean, those are the ones who are like, we're stoked to vote for him. I love
stay
that,
home.
I love that I got to ask your friend because we got not, it wasn't heated, but whatever. But I got to ask him, like, well, like, my only qualifier to accept this reality from you is to ask you, were you excited to vote for Biden? And he was like, no,
yeah.
No. And I'm like, all right, that's all I needed. That's fine. So, but yeah, so this is we've been new. You know.
We've been new. Yeah. Dalrys said fixing the obesity issue would address a lot of health concerns in this country. It goes back to what you guys stated before. It's a class problem. More money equals healthier food. And also more investment into like poorer communities would end food deserts. Also, increasing property value in those places would the property taxes would pay for better education at public schools. So it's like it's just all a fucking bad, it's a horrible cocktail that is going to keep poor people fat and sad forever.
What's interesting to me is like, so, you know, when we as a country finally accepted that smoking kills you, right? Like we forced, you know, when you watch those truth ads or whatever on TV, they're all paid for by like Philip Morris and these kinds of companies.
Right.
Which I think is why they're so annoying is like, they're trying to just make it unappealing to even watch the advertisement.
Yeah.
But the point being is like, how is smoking, like smoking kills less people yearly than just obesity related deaths alone. I'm not talking heart disease, which can kind of like classify even just older people dying of heart related issues. Just obesity kills more people than smoking every year.
Yeah.
But is Frito-Lay doing a truth type advertisement about how bad their food is?
No.
So that's kind of the thing, is there's no communication about how these things are like Coke soda should be a treat. It should be a treat. It should not be a substitute for water. And that's what it is for so many of these people, is it's like, it is just, I like, water's gross. I drink soda only. And you know,
my veins, I just felt them pulsate.
And you've met these people, you know, like, you know who these people are, or like even like, you know, Monster Energy, like energy in lieu of coffee. You know what I mean? Like black coffee, like not coffee with international delight in it, which is horrible as well. So I don't know. So like I think that there's a corporate interest in keeping people fat, stupid and lazy. And they find poor people to be the easiest, and I mean this like with all due respect, rubes for them to take advantage of. All due respect, because I feel horrible that this is this position they've been put in. And because like, and I think I can say that with like certainty, because you know my intensity against obesity. Like, in fact, it has, like, freaked people out that we've, like, hung out with, because I'm, like, I have no sympathy for this one. Like, I understand it's harder to deal with, like, as a drug addiction, because you have to put the shit in your face to live. But the other argument I've heard people make is, like, well, you know, fast food is cheaper than regular food. And I'm like, yeah, but to get over 300 pounds, it's a 5'5" to 5'10" person is consuming so much food that it actually is way more expensive than just cooking a meal that would keep you at a normal weight. Like, there's no excuse to that anymore. And I think that, like, that brain virus has actually been pushed from the, like, shitty food lobby of, like, well, it's just more expensive, and that's why people eat McDonald's. And it's like, dude, getting a full McDonald's meal as an individual is, like, over $8.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, you could cook something for $20 that would feed you for 4 days.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. It's there's the psychology of, like, I'm going to spend $75 now at the grocery store. No way. I'm going to spend $8 at McDonald's now and sustain myself for a few hours.
Yes. A few more things I want to do, and then we'll
let's do it.
So, what, speaking of coronavirus, I don't know if you saw, like,
oh yeah, the man who won an Emmy.
I think he's nominated for an Emmy. I don't know if he's actually won one, but, like, we're not gonna play this whole clip. But I want to illustrate just how stupid he is. This is Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah,
I'm a little unclear about New York City schools. The other day you said this is the city's decision. They have an agreement at 3%. Today you said, well, I might have to impose an orange zone, and I might have to close the schools, which an orange zone does. So what's going on? Does the city still have the ability to close its schools? Are you now taking control and saying that you have the power to make this decision? And for the millions of
people who
want to know, are the schools going to open tomorrow in New York City?
All right. First of all, let's try not to be obnoxious and offensive.
Oh, my God.
In your tone.
Oh my God. So
again, your tone is more condescending than the person that just asked the question. And, like, literally you've only said about 10 words. And Cuomo, we all know why you're doing this. Like children are not, they don't die from this virus. Yeah. So, and also too, like, I saw, like, stats, you can only find them county by county. Kids are failing, like, badly. Like, this will be, like, a forgotten year for several, like, of this, like, generation who's coming up. The only reason why he wants to keep schools closed and keep, like, bars and other shit open is because one of them has tax revenue that goes to him. The other one takes it out.
Yeah.
And that's, like, literally the only reason. So, but.
Ugh.
Because you're 100% wrong. These laws have all been in effect for months. I've always said we set initial parameters. And then the school district picked a percent within those parameters. New York City picked 3%. We announced the orange zone.
Ugh.
The schools, by state law, well, what is the answer to your question? What is the answer to your question?
I don't know what the answer is.
Yes, you do.
You said,
when does the state close the schools?
When you get to an orange zone, which you're suggesting could happen, but is not necessarily happening by tomorrow.
So then what are you asking? You just answered your own question.
Fucking asshole.
Excuse me.
But on one hand, you have granted Bill de Blasio the kind of oversight of his schools, and there are rumors that the number in New York City will rise above 3%, which would trigger closing of schools. Now, you've just said that an orange zone could be in the offing for the entirety of New York City, which would also close schools, but your number is 2.5. So I guess just the point blank question is, our school's going to be open tomorrow in New York
City. Let's do it again.
Oh, my God.
Because maybe gets confusing over the days and nights.
Goodness gracious.
So, like, I mean, just, again, like, what a stupid, like, stupid, stupid human. And Del Rey says, these elitists have gotten outrageous. Shake my head, their arrogance is appalling. I feel like the guillotines are coming out soon. And, like, yeah, I mean, like, violence is going to happen. I mean, something's going to have to happen here shortly, but, like, L.A. just closed down outdoor dining again. These restaurants have spent $10,000 at least to build these, like, parking lot structures and these kinds of things. And with no government recourse for them to financially pad themselves until this is done. Not to mention the fact that, like, there is no data that outdoor dining causes any spread of this kind of thing. Like, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that there was an outdoor dining protest in Long Beach today?
No, I didn't.
So my friend actually sent this to me. I was unaware, but there are people protesting the fact that they're closing outdoor dining, which is, fucking stupid. And Long Beach, I've seen, has done it the best out of any other place that I've been to since this whole thing started. Mm-hmm. Outdoor dining, Long Beach has just nailed it.
Yeah. Like taking up parking, like some parking to just build these little verandas or whatever to kind of like make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. New York, on the other hand, is building enclosed tents.
In fairness to them, though, it gets fucking cold. So that's, like, yes, they don't really have like, and that's the, like, I feel very badly for places like Chicago in particular, is way colder than New York. Like,
they closed outdoor dining like weeks ago. We talked about it.
Right. And again, what's so crazy
or
is
they closed all indoor dining, like, rather. Sorry.
Government nipple rings, Governor nipple rings here. Like, his brother who faked coronavirus, Gavin Newsom, Lori Lightfoot, some other mayor I saw the other day. They all have broken their own rules blatantly. I mean, in a way that's like so gross. And so what I'm starting to think, like reading that Washington Post article with like it's killing like fat people, like I think we're going to look back on who it's killing, and it is people who have neglected their health for decades. And our leaders, which would be a massive embarrassment for them to get this virus, right? They clearly don't think it's that serious. They're fine with it.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, Gavin Newsom, our governor, was eating with his public health officials. Yeah. So, they don't what they're saying, and stupid nipple rings there, like, the amount of, like, righteous indignation they have about what's going on, they clearly don't believe it's that serious. But they want to win Emmys, which is what, you know, he is probably going to get.
Yes.
And so, it's just pathetic. Kate says that I see the Jimmy Dore video. Yeah, I watched him on being a hypocrite. Greg asked if I watched Idiocracy. It's a great movie. It really much, very much does look like the American populace now, which it's sad when movies about parody become reality. So last thing I want to follow up on is, like, are we excited for a Joe Biden cabinet? You know, it's so funny.
Not the cabinet, but
well, his whole, like, everyone around him. So,
I mean, I'm excited for the Joe Biden presidency to watch him melt, but I'm not excited for his cabinet.
You're excited for my impression that I've been working on very much.
Oh yeah, the impression that you send me probably a total of like 15 minutes a day practicing.
I'm getting close.
Via audio message.
I got hairy legs. They get blonde.
Every time I get one, I'm like, is this going to be important? And I'm like watching a YouTube video that like I'm thoroughly enjoying, and I'm like, oh shit, this seems like it's going to be important. And then I hear the kids, they jump on my lap, and I'm like, God fucking damn it.
That's when I first learned about roaches. I love kids jumping on my lap.
Put one in my mouth.
Yeah. Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Enough.
I'm going to, I have to. The problem is I have to like, I've told you this a million times. It makes you crazy. But like, that's my anchor point, is that speech. Yeah. And then like trying to figure out how to say other things as him. But it's like it's a fun impression to do, and I think that like this one will actually be a tougher one for everyone to do, because everyone can do a shitty Trump, which is but like Trump is actually a difficult one to do accurately,
ourselves included.
But Biden actually is, well, of course, and I think most of the times I did a Trump impression, I admitted it was shitty. But Biden, I think I can actually do well, which will be, it'll make his lackluster presidency with Neera Tanden as an official cabinet member, a little bit more entertaining.
This is from Andrew Gillum.
Neera Tanden, if you don't know, she is the most effective manipulator of conversation to destroy people who push against the Democratic establishment. So, like, she was one of the architects of making Bernie seem like a sexist, these kinds of things, or like Bernie Bros, Flaming Tulsi, like that's who Neera Tanden is. I can go on and on. Like every reporter that actually tells the truth, like Matt Taibbi, Glenn Greenwald, Lee Fong, even fucking Michael Tracy, when the WikiLeaks things came out, leaked her emails, she hated all these people aggressively. And like, in fact, when she got nominated, all of them were like retweeting the screenshots of like when she chose to go after them in those emails. So like, that's who she is. And then we have Bisis here defending her.
Yeah.
As we hear the unfolding of the attacks against Neera Tanden, please suspend with this. She's, you know, the ultra left wing of the Democratic Party establishment. That's not what that is. What they are challenging is a strong, brilliant, powerful, savvy, experienced woman calling them on the carpet using facts.
I'm
going to
kill myself. I'm really going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Andrew Gillum has a podcast?
Yeah.
What a faggot. God damn.
Indeed.
Who the fuck?
Yeah.
Grow up.
It's called the Bices Podcast.
The Bices Podcast.
So yeah, I mean this is what's coming. And like honestly too, I'm dunking on myself as somebody who is kind of majority on the left and progressive, like you're gonna reap what you've now sown with this incessant identity politics thing, because they're gonna use it right back at you with someone like Neera Tanden or with somebody like Kamala Harris. And what's going to happen in the future is someone like Nikki Haley, who is technically not white and a Republican, who the Republicans will now weaponize this fucking atrocious choice you guys have made to make this a central issue that disqualifies or qualifies people for a job, even though their policies are atrocious.
Who's the dude that Biden wants to appoint head of maybe national security or head of defense or whatever? He's a black man.
Oh, yeah, the CIA guy.
CIA something, yeah. But it's like, we talked about this with Chris when he was on the show 2 weeks ago. We were just saying your label is your armor.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kamala Harris, Neera Tanden, the dude he appointed for the CIA, these people will be protected at all costs by their identities. And so we are not allowed to criticize their methods or their politics
at the expense because of
people like Andrew Gillum will say what you're really criticizing is that she's a black, a
powerful
woman.
Black or woman or like, whatever.
Shut up, dude.
And again, like I think what makes it so craven and gross is I don't believe he believes that statement he just said.
No.
And like I that's the thing, is like I'm trying to picture the person that is willing to lie like that. I can't even wrap my head around it. So well, this is going to be a fun 4 years. So.
You know who had the number one podcast this year? Michelle Obama. On Spotify, that is. The number one podcast on Spotify was Michelle Obama.
No, there's no way that she beat Joe Rogan. Really? There's no way.
I read somewhere that she had like the, because Spotify's doing that,
rap thing. I believe you read it. I just don't believe that that's true.
Oh, I saw like a screenshot from whatever. But
you're telling me that Michelle Obama's podcast got more listeners than Joe Rogan's?
Look, man, I think more people watch Joe Rogan on YouTube.
No.
Really?
Like, I've seen the metrics. Like so, for instance, like let's take the first Alex Jones podcast he did. That got, I think, like after, you know, about a month, had about 12 million views. The listens were like in the 35 million area.
Wow.
So,
but listens on the podcast app, right? Oh, no, because he's only on Spotify. Is he not on the podcast app?
This is before. Well, so then again, maybe they finagled it just through Spotify. So then it makes it seem as if she's because who'd want to listen? I mean,
I have no interest.
Like someone in your family might want to listen to her and feel good about themselves. But like, you know,
and that's what politics is, baby. It's to make white people feel better good about themselves for being white.
And like that's the thing is like what I love
being
about
a good white ally.
What I love about the audience we have here is like, so like I subscribe to Newsmax, that fucking really far, like, or just basically Trump network. Cause I want to see what they're saying, you know? And it's like, none of it like upsets me. It doesn't upset me to watch their stuff. Even if like I completely disagree with probably nearly everything they say. Cause like they're just focused on the election, fraud thing right now. In quotes, but I don't get why people can't watch things like that and just be like, okay, well, I know what the other side is talking about, what they're focused on. It doesn't cause me any kind of emotional change. There's no, like, the difference too, like between like Newsmax and someone like Rachel Maddow, who are like complete like opposites. Rachel Maddow is so smug about like smugness, like kind of with Cuomo we just saw. Smugness really makes me kind of viscerally feel angry. Mm-hmm. But when they're just telling you their side of the thing, even though it's completely inaccurate, it's kind of disarming in a way. And I think that like it's important for everybody to read past the headline, watch the networks you don't agree with, like just to see what they're talking about, and then it'll make you a better conversationalist when this stuff comes up. So
yeah, well,
are you hungry?
Are we good? I'm starving. Subscribe to our Patreon if you want to. We would love to grow this channel a little bit more, so tell your friends if you think they're like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Fucking keep up with us on Twitter, wherever you want.
Keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. See you guys soon.
Adios.
This is all wrong. this book.